evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Later we'll hear more about plans by the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association to set up new structures within Donegal. But firstly this evening, let's concentrate on the aftermath of the terrible weather that wreaked havoc for so many people in Inishowen and northeast Donegal last week. While hundreds of farmers have been adversely affected and many are in dire straits after what really was a once in a century freak of nature. To get an update on what's been happening on the ground, I've been speaking with Donegal IFA Environment and Rural Affairs Chairman Francis Burns.
Yes, Chris, good evening. Another long week in Inishowen. Another very stressful week for farmers. Busy taking stock of the current situation that we're in. Lots of losses, Chris, and they're still coming in on a daily basis. We'll be speaking to our members on the ground every day. And kilometres upon kilometres of fencing has been lost. Animals, crops from grass to potatoes, silage, bales, washed down rivers, totally gone out of sight. Very, very difficult for us. Very, very difficult.
Now, it's one of the interesting things about this is that it was so localised, and there's many people in other parts of Donegal who can scarcely imagine what has happened maybe only 20, 30, 40, 50 miles away.
Oh, that's it. And even closer than that, like speaking to one guy in Newton Cunningham there, like he says it was a wet day here, he says, where he was, you know. And you go then on further over the hill to and the Killeigh and that, and you see the damage that was caused there. And I suppose a lot of this damage was exacerbated with the current spring tide that we were having then, you know. And it just unfortunately happened all at the one time where you had a very high tide and you had this deluge of water trying to get to the sea, and it just backed up then, you know.
So what exactly has the IFA been done? Joe Healy is naturally off taking a big interest in that, and no doubt he is lobbying as best he can to try and get support and financial aid as soon as possible.
That's right, Chris. Wednesday morning, Joe Healy was on the phone right away, and he was planning then to come on Friday. He did come on Friday, and there was a meeting of farmers, a few farmers in Buncrana, in the morning, and they proceeded then around Inishowen from Buncrana to Cairn, over to Muff, and up over then into the Killeigh area, and they met with several farmers. Now, we do apologise, Chris, two farmers who he didn't get to on the day. As you can imagine, the scale is just so massive that one person could not visit them all and spend time with them all in one day. In the evening, we then had a meeting with Minister Creed, and that's what we got, a good firm conversation with him. He made the effort to come up, which was good as well, to see for himself. And really, as you know, Chris, when you see things yourself in this scenario, that's really only when you get the full grasp of the thing, you know. He has tasked Chagas with the job of taking note of people who has lost who's had damage to property and crops, and what the protocol is at the minute, Chris, is that the department have issued a statement and that farmers must report any livestock losses to the DVO and RFO. That's livestock losses reported to DVO and RFO, and any all other losses to Chagas. Now, IFA is there. If you're having difficulty with either of the above, you can contact us, but we are not the agency for reporting your losses to. I just make that clear, we're not the agency for reporting your losses to, but we are there to help you out if you're having any difficulty. We'd be really pushing farmers to try and make that call sooner rather than later. It is difficult. It's very challenging, Chris, for farmers that have lost livestock, and you know, what we're doing on a daily basis is trying to keep livestock alive, and then this happens. It's totally out of the farmer's hands. And it's the only way, Chris, the department is going to get a handle on the situation. And from there forward then, we'll be pushing them for a package.
Now, we have to move forward, and one must hope that the weather is reasonably good in the weeks and months ahead. Fodder is going to be an issue, but there is some positive news in this regard.
That's right, Chris, as I was telling you there before we come on. We're very lucky with an AFA, Chris, that we have the brand structure there, and that brand structure stretches across the whole of Ireland, and we have been, I'd go as far as to say, we've been inundated with donations of fodder, and now we are taking a list of that, and we have been speaking directly with farmers who have lost fodder. Now, there's quite a lot of farmers who've had bales washed away, but they were able to get them gathered up and able to get them rewrapped and put away again. Unfortunately, there are some farmers that have lost the silage altogether down the river, Chris, and these guys are going to need silage. And also, some of them in particular have the second cut silage crop growing in the field, which has also been destroyed. We have concerns about these farmers who've lost everything, including the second, but in relation to taking the donations from the local areas. As regards to taking donations of silage and fodder from the local areas, we would have some concerns that we could be looking at an early winter and a late spring, and we could then be looking at a fodder crisis locally. So for the farmers that have lost everything, we'd be hoping to get them fodder from further south in the country, Chris.
And one other thing worth pointing out, we're still not sure of the actual structure or the nature of some of the, particularly some of the smaller roads, some of the back roads. And if you are out and if you're in a tractor or using heavy farm machinery, certainly err on the side of caution because there could still be problems.
Yes, Chris. This evening we'll be meeting with the branch chairman from the affected areas, along with the all the county officers. And out of that meeting, we will hopefully be in a clearer, even more clear position onto the damages that are done and the state of the roads locally. Like, Chris, we could talk for hours on this tonight, but we just simply don't have the time on it. But tonight we hope to get from them a very clear picture. And, you know, people are in the local areas. Most people know their branch chairman. The branch chairman are there. They're there to help. And there's, as I said earlier, there's the branch structure, and that's how that's working down the country. People are going to their branch chairman, and they're saying they have hay and they have silage, and that's coming right up through to us, and it's a great job.
And that was Francis Burns, the environmental chairman of the IFA here in Donegal. Now, changing tack, onto an event coming up next week. Ulster Northwest MEP Luke Ming Flanagan will be coming to Donegal for a meeting being hosted by the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association. Inishowen-based National Vice Chairman of the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association, Henry O'Donnell, has been telling me more about the visit, which will coincide with establishing new structures within Donegal for the organisation.
Yes, that's right, Chris. We plan to have a lot of activity over the between now and Christmas, and from Christmas to about April time, where we have big plans for the organisation in Donegal. We're taking the organisation to the next level. Our membership has increased so much that we have decided to set up regional branches, and we're going to have Inishowen is going to have a branch. South Donegal is going to have a branch, and West Donegal is going to have a branch. Now, as part of our autumn campaign, we have a number of initiatives kicking off. We have a regional meeting in Southwest Donegal on the 6th of September in the Glencolum Kill area. And then in Inishowen, we have Luke Ming Flanagan coming up on the 8th of September for a meeting to give us some of the European perspective on current policies that we're concerned about, like the review of the ANC and the overall direction of the CAP now when it's reviewed in 2021. So we have a lot going on, Chris.
Now, farming organisations have come and gone over the years, but you'd be confident that the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association, you're only going a couple of years, essentially, but the groundwork has been done and you're here for the long haul.
Very, very much so, Chris. We feel we have now got a seat at the table when negotiations are occurring, and we're going to use that to the maximum, because we feel at the last review of the CAP, that farmers, particularly in the West and Donegal, got a very raw deal. So we're determined that that's not going to happen again. We have a very clear mandate from our members, and we're going to use it and hopefully get a more favourable review in the next round of the CAP. So there's a lot of work to be done. Farmers need to be informed of exactly what way things are shaping up and what we need to do on the ground.
Communication is key, getting the message over, and no doubt quite a few people going to your meetings may well be members of other farming organisations, but that certainly shouldn't deter them.
No, we would love everybody in the farming community to come along and hear what Luke Mangflanagan has to say, because it's relevant to everybody. It's very current. Obviously, he has a ringside seat to see what's actually happening in Brussels, and we would like every farmer to be well informed. We're very transparent. We have nothing to fear, and we would love members of other organisations to come along. It's not an issue for us at all that everybody needs to be informed of exactly what's going on, and we feel that maybe up to now that has been a problem, that farmers don't actually realise what is coming down the tracks, and then they don't have a say in it because they haven't been told.
And if anybody wants to become a member, is the advice to come along to one of the meetings and sign up?
Yeah. We always collect membership at meetings. Now, saying that, we're not putting any onus on farmers. We would like them to hear what Luke has to say. We would like them to hear what we have to say. And they can go and make up their own mind if they feel it's something that they want to be part of. We'll welcome new members, and we have welcomed a substantial amount in Donegal in recent times, which is great.
And outside of Donegal, the association is growing down, really, I suppose, west of the Shannon, the strength, Donegal,
yeah,
Mayo, Sligo, Leitrim.
So, yeah, very much so, Chris. Now, some of the counties there have taken the initiative and have already set up a more detailed branch structure already, so we're just following their good example. Now, what we would say is we're not going to be an organisation that supposedly has a branch in every town land that's actually only there in name and very inactive. We think we're a modern organisation with modern communications. We don't need a branch in every town land. We're just dividing the area into regions, and we want representation from them regions that actually have a say and that can direct where the organisation goes.
And just to recap, Donegal, obviously a large county, so down 12, 24 months down the road, you'd like to see maybe, what, three or four sort of separate areas feeding in?
I would think so, Chris. We're fairly flexible, and what we have been doing is following where our membership is coming from and reinforcing those areas, and it seems to be working very, very well.
Henry O'Donnell there of the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association. Just time for the livestock prices. A steer base, €3.80 to €3.85 a kilo. Heifers, €3.90 to €3.95 a kilo. Young bulls, R grade, €3.80 a kilo. U grade, €3.95 a kilo. And cows making €3.10 to €3.55 a kilo. According to the IFA National Sheep Committee Chairman John Linsky, factories increased the lamb kill in the lead into the Muslim festival of Eid on September the 2nd. He said the kill increased to 61,623 last week and is likely to be even higher for the next 2 weeks. Demand is strong, prices in the order of €5 a kilo, with tops of €5.20 a kilo being paid earlier in the week. The mark trade and live export buying are active. Live buyers are offering €2.30 a kilo, and ewes are making €3 a kilo. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. For me, Chris Ashmore, as always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, goodbye.
Broadcasting throughout the Northwest and across the world online, this is Highland Radio. Dogu Dostashun, Highland Radio.
The Creative Ireland programme is a new government initiative encouraging everyone to get involved in the cultural life of the nation. County Donegal is home to one of the largest surviving concentrations of vernacular cottages in Ireland. In Search of the Donegal Vernacular Cottage celebrates the traditional dwellings of County Donegal that help define our cultural landscape, refine our sense of place and reinforce our sense of identity. The free exhibition is running in the County Museum until this Saturday, and our reporter Catherine Gaffney paid a visit to find out more about just what's in store.
Donegal is home to one of the largest surviving concentrations of traditional buildings in the country. And the buildings that are featured in the exhibition, as I said, they're traditional buildings. Some of them are thatched, some of them are stone-roofed cottages. But they really focus on what's called vernacular architecture, which is this idea that it's an architecture without architects. So instead of dealing with measured drawings or blueprints, the houses are actually based on collective folk memory that's handed down from one generation to the next. So in that sense, I suppose every building is individual, but they tell the story really of the vast majority of people in County Donegal. And I think that's why there's been such a great response to the exhibition.
And how important, even though you just said that it is home to the largest remaining vernacular cottages, how important is it for those to be preserved?
Oh, it's very important because, again, they really give us a sense of place in the county and also a sense of identity, because there are many sort of families can relate to their own family histories to those buildings themselves. So they're very important in that sense. But they're also very durable buildings and they're very adaptable buildings. So they can be adapted to meet modern demands as well. So they're not just historic relics, they're also living aspects of our heritage, our built heritage.
In terms of the exhibition itself happening here in the museum, there's also an element too that people can actually go out and look at these cottages too, as far as I know, isn't there?
That's right, and I suppose that's what the title In Search of the Donegal Vernacular and Cottage encourages, is that we want people to go out and actually look at these buildings and to find these and find other examples as well. And there are a wonderful collection of historic photographs, some of them in national collections, some of them in local collections. And again, we've got images from the National Library, the National Museum, and of course the Ulster Museum as well, and the Ulster Folk and Transport Museum and Culture in County Down as well, featured as part of the exhibition. And then there are some great studies as well. There was a study done in 1940 by Patrick O'Neill, who was a student at Queen's University in Belfast, and he did a wonderful study of crofter life in West Donegal. And again, we're very fortunate to have probably two copies that survive of that manuscript in our collection here in the county archives, and that's on exhibition again as part of the vernacular architecture exhibition. And again, there's illustrations as well from Eston's Evans study in the 1950s of folkways in Ireland, and also Fred Olin and Alan Brodie's study of Gola Island in 1969. And again, there's a wonderful line drawing of a cottage sort of from there. And again, it's also supplemented with some modern day images from some work that myself and my co-author Greg Stevenson did on the traditional cottages of County Donegal.
So this current exhibition, when does it run from, and how can people, you know, engage with yourself here at the museum and other staff members indeed?
Yeah, the exhibition itself is running on here in the County Museum on the High Road in Letterkenny until Saturday the 2nd of September, and we're hoping then that it'll also tour as well around the county, because other venues have expressed an interest in hosting it. So we're hoping in the autumn and into the spring of next year that it will also tour as well, and people have an opportunity to see it around the county as well.
Your voice, your station.